So we've been going through a series in John, and I just want to give you a bit of a landscape of where we've been and invite you to journey with us today if you haven't been here through the rest of the series. We've been looking at John chapter 1, the first 14 verses, and we talked about the Word of God, capital W, which was revealed as Jesus, capital W, Word, and the small W, Word, the Bible, that reveals the large W, Word. And I think that's important today because when I say the Word, I want you to remember that I'm talking about Jesus, okay? And then as we proceeded, we talked about how Jesus is the source of everything. Through Him, all things were created. Through Him, all things were made. And just His bigness and His largeness. And last week, we had Steve Bailey speak about the light and darkness, and he reminded us that the darkness shall not prevail over the light, but the light shall prevail over the darkness. And today, we're moving on to verse 14, and looking forward to talking to you about that today. And I want to tell you something that seems maybe a bit unrelated at first, but we'll get there. I love tents. Does anyone else here love tents? Right? A couple, not many people love tents. Kind of surprised. I love tents. And I love what they represent. I love how they represent and promise adventure, right? Tents kind of promise that you're going to have some fun and go out and experience something different. And when I see tents at MEC or other places, I could buy lots of tents. I could buy a small pup tent and just be happy with that small tent and take it on my bike. I could buy a big cabin tent, you know those canvas ones? I could buy one of those, and I could put it on a wood floor with a wood stove and cook bacon and beans at night and sit in there and listen to coyotes. Sounds good, doesn't it? Right? Almost Christmassy. And I know this is a thing. There are now floating tents, and I could kind of get into that. So you set up your floating tent on a lake, and imagine just going to sleep on that tent. And you wake up in the water somewhere, but you don't know where, but who cares where? Because you're in a tent on a lake. It's kind of awesome. Tents, though, when you go tenting, it says, I am present here. And you get to find the spot, the best spot that you want to be in, choose the spot, and say, I'm going to dwell here for a while. I'm going to stay here. A couple years ago, I went backpacking with my boys and a few friends. And it was in this beautiful area called Nordegg in the Rockies. And we hiked in with all of our stuff, including our tents. And there were a bunch of friends with us. And we found this spot nestled in this valley. We could see all the mountains. And there was a little stream nearby. And we set up that tent. And we dwelled there. And it became home for us. We had so much fun. I remember actually at night we were playing this game. What kind of animal would people be? And I remember saying, well, what, and the names might match some people here, but I assure you, it's none of you, okay? Brian, what kind of animal would Brian be? I'm not talking about you, don't worry. Well, we think he'd be a badger. Brian would be a badger. Okay, what about Dale? I thought about Dale for a while. He's a rat. Dale's a rat. And then we started talking about Calvin. Now, Calvin was a big guy. He was like a football player, but he didn't even need to wear padding, but he looked like a football player with the padding. What kind of animal would Calvin be? He'd be a hippopotamus. A hippopotamus. Calvin is a hippopotamus. So we had a lot of fun playing that game. And the next morning, you know, the good thing about tents is that they're waterproof, but they're not soundproof, we discovered. Calvin says, I'm a hippopotamus? Really? We got busted a bit with that one. Tents are also imaged in the scripture we're going to look at today. And in our series through John, we're going to John 1:14 today. And it is about dwelling and presence and about how God is present. As we read it, I want you to keep in mind that the previous 14 verses have been about the largeness of God and the influence of the Word and have introduced us to the Word and who the Word is. And they've been developing our knowledge of how great the Word is, how all-powerful, how he created all things, how he was in the beginning present, and how all things were created through him, how he was and is to come. And that word being described is Jesus, and is no other than the Lord God Almighty. That's what's been developed. And it's this big, huge, cosmic scale about the Word. The Word is the power, the creative force, the life force behind and before and between and below and above everything. Everything. So now we come to this. And it's a bit different. And I'd like to call it this revelation of the Word in John 1, verse 14. Let me read this to you. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Did you catch the contrast? Did you hear it? The Word, the Creator, the magnificent, the exalted, the glorious, became flesh. Now, I don't know about you, but I find this an interesting way to describe someone's humanity. Oh, you see that person over there? Yes, they're flesh, fleshy. He's flesh, he's fleshy, she's fleshy. It's a bit odd, isn't it, to talk about someone like that? Hey, flesh. Instead of looking out there and seeing a bunch of people, a bunch of friends, you could say, hey, flesh, good morning. All you fleshy people, so good to see this flesh. It's a bit strange. It's odd. Why not say he became a person? A human became a man. Saying that the Word became flesh is a deliberate, particular, base, earthy way to say and to announce that he has taken on humanity with all the trappings and biology. It's not in this verse with his Word, he became human, he took a body, kind of like this grand stuff. He chose a body for himself, a really great body, a supermodel body, a Middle Eastern body that didn't ever sweat. None of that. It's flesh. It's down-to-earth, nitty-gritty biology. It's biological physicality. And it's really a strong contrast to what we have in the first verses. The Word. Jesus is the Word, the Creator of all things. Everything. Everything is more than you can imagine. He's the Creator of that. He's great. He always was, always will be. And he's more than we can imagine. And his essence, who he is way beyond what it means to be human. And that's where we start in John 1. But then it leads to this point, the great, the huge, the galactic, the unimaginably transcendent meets flesh, bones, blood. The Word, the everything, meets hair and feet and toenails. The Word, the power, the other, the unimaginable meets sweat and saliva and eating flesh. It's the extreme. It's the other end of the universal. It's down to earth. It's so down to earth that the language used is almost crude. It's the only way to express how far, how much he gave and he cares. All that greatness, yet here he is in the flesh. It's the only way to express and to capture the vastness of the distance that he moved to be one of us in solidarity with us, in relationship with us. And this flesh word, if we continue on in the verse, we see that he made his dwelling among us. Now, I'm not the only one who loves tents. There were a few of you here, but I'll tell you, the Israelites loved tents. They were a tent people. Did you know that the Israelites spent a lot of time in tents? Tents were really important to them. They were their homes. They were their safety, their shelter. The patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, were nomadic, and they dwelled in tents. They dwelled in what, in the original language, is called a mishkan, the Hebrew word for tent. And they moved around with their herds, and they looked for the good spots, those awesome places with water and food, maybe a view. I don't know if that mattered to them. And they would set up their mishkans. And we know that after they left Egypt, the Israelites spent a lot of time in tents, wandering in the desert, dwelling in mishkan. We also know that after they left slavery of Egypt behind, after they were delivered from oppression in the desert, God revealed himself to them in a greater and expanding way. And they got to know more and more about what he was like. And they came to experience his presence. So they made a special place to worship God and symbolize God's presence. It was a portable sanctuary. And this is kind of what it looked like. It had this big pavilion part. And if you were to walk through, there would be this altar of offering at the beginning. And it was within the boundaries, but it didn't have a roof. It wasn't inside the tent, so to speak. If you were to walk inside, you come into the holy place, just inside the tent. And another room, if you were to proceed a bit further, would be the most holy place, or the Holy of Holies. And this is where the Ark of the Covenant, or the Ark of the Testimony, was kept. Now, this place was significant for the Israelites. It represented both symbolically and literally the glory and presence of God with his people. It was symbolic because we know, and the Israelites know, that you can't contain God in his totality in a tent. We know that. They knew that. But it was literal because somehow God's presence was there. There was something of God's presence and power in that place. This was the tabernacle. It was the holy place for Israel at the time. You know what the word they used for that tabernacle was? Mishkan, tent. The Lord dwelled with his people in a tent. He was present with them. It represented his presence. It represented his investment with them. And it represented his desire to be there among the people. So let's move forward again to John 1:14. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The Word became flesh and tabernacled among us. The Word became flesh and tented among us. It's a deliberate word choice. We hear this echo of the same type of presence as the Old Testament tabernacle presence, as the Old Testament Holy of Holies presence. He came and he made his dwelling among us. The Word became this flesh and bones, biology, human being, and set up his tent in our neighborhood, in our backyard. He dwelt there. He lived there. It was his place of presence. The Word became this flesh and bones and biology human and set up his tabernacle in our neighborhood, in our backyard. His holiness came. He lived there. It was his place of presence. The Word, the greatness, the everything in flesh and blood biology. I am here. I am present. I am dwelling here. You people, humanity, you can't do anything to move in my direction, but I can move in yours. You can't do anything to meet the divine, but the divine can meet you. I will dwell with you. I will come to your area, to your world, to your turf, and I will be with you. I will walk with you. I will be present. I will set up my tent in your yard. The holiness and majesty and glory and power of God with us, Emmanuel, dwelling with his people. But now in this person, in this word. And in this word, we have the everything that was and is to come, that created all things, that has moved in and dwelled with us and set up his tent deliberately. And he himself is this tabernacle, this holy place, this holy of holies. And at the same time, in his flesh and bones and sweat and food and feet biology, he's there with both of those things. And his name is Jesus, and he is present. That's what all this is about, his presence. He is with us. God in flesh, with us, present. The holiness that used to be contained in that tabernacle, that holy tent, that ark, is now in the person of Jesus with his people, with humanity, in the flesh, with all of us, flesh with flesh. Isaiah 7, chapter 7, verse 14, is a well-known Christmas verse, so you'll probably recognize it. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. You know what the word Emmanuel means, right? It means God with us. God is present, divine and flesh together with us in the Word, Jesus. The Word became flesh and dwelled with us. He tented in our backyard, set up the Holy of Holies right there, right in our neighborhood. He dwelled with us. He dwells with us, his presence. He's present. And you know what this kind of presence means about God? It means that he's a God of relationship, a God that cares for his creation. He's a God of intimacy. He's a God of presence. And he's a God of grace. Nowhere do we see more clearly what grace means than the Word became flesh. And there is nothing, no one, no other like this. There is no other God like this. He is Emmanuel, God of the tent, God of dwelling, God of presence. He is with us. There's another side to this tenting that I didn't mention that you might be aware of. It's the bad side of tenting. Do you know what I mean? The setup side. You carry your tent in and you look for a spot and you can't find anything but rocks and roots. So you go, oh, well, I've got mats. I guess I'll set the tent down here and it'll work out. So you set up the tent over these rocks and roots and you try to sleep and you can feel them all night. Try to find the perfect spot, you can't. And then there's those dumb poles that never seem to fit together and spring apart when you don't want them to and don't go together when you want them to. Do you know what I mean? Those poles, they're terrible. And then there's sharing a tent with people. Sorry, boys, loved it. But it's messy and cramped and sometimes smelly. We went camping as a family once in Jasper, and we had this great big cabin tent, but not one of those great big ones with a stove, right? Just like a cheap imitation cabin tent for families. And it was a great camping trip, except we woke up in the morning and thought, I feel like I'm on a wet sponge. Water had come in and all of our mats were soaked and our sleeping bags were soaked and we were literally sleeping on water like this deep. Tenting can be terrible. And then the worst part is you have to take the tent down. You take it down and you pack it up and it never goes back the way you think it should go. And then you're not done. You get home and if you're a good tenter, you have to unpack the tent again and let it dry out. Then you have to pack it up again. Some things about tenting I don't like. It's not all easy. No, I think presence is like that. There's some stuff that's hard about it, that's hard to face, but needs to be voiced. This presence of God, I'm often jealous of the Israelites with their clouds of fire and lightning and holies of holies and smoke and all that sort of stuff. Because the reality is sometimes that presence is just hard to feel. When we want tangible, we get intangible. When we want closeness, we get aloofness. Sometimes when we want it, we can't find it. Sometimes when we need it, we can't get it. And the words of John are teaching about Jesus become an exercise in faith and hope. Because that presence that John points to and goes to so much trouble to explain feels more like the idea of camping and God setting up our tent in his backyard, in our backyard, than it does the reality of tenting. Because sometimes, no matter how hard we look, we can't find that tent. But John's words are words of comfort. Because the thing that we long to feel but often can't is what John is insisting is there. God's presence. And these words are a reminder, a promise that even when you can't feel God's presence, even when all you feel is a void, he is there. There's something very human, very earthy, very fleshy that I want to remind you of. You know what Jesus called the church? His body. His flesh. The divine enfleshed. And I can't overemphasize how important this is. Faith in Jesus, following Jesus, what we call Christianity, is not about getting concepts personally and ideas and moments of experiential bliss. It's not a private commitment that needs to be kept to itself. Christianity is an embodied faith. It's incarnational, like the Word, like Jesus. The essence of our faith, our calling, is to be the body of Christ to the world, to each other, to our neighbors, to our family, to our friends. Look around at all this flesh. Look around, you guys. Look at all this flesh in this room. You guys are pretty fleshy, and that's a compliment. We're a fleshy bunch. These bones, this flesh, is spirit-breathed and is called to be that flesh of Christ in the here and now and the present, the church, to dwell. And the reality is, the truth is, that God's church is so important to his plan because he left us to be his hands and feet. The tangible presence, made alive by the presence of the Holy Spirit. To make the words of John, the promise of presence, what might seem like intangible words, tangible. To make what might seem like distant theology and ideas about God, practical. So this Christmas, I want to ask you, are you willing to set up your tent and dwell in the present? Are you willing to be that body that we are called to be? Are you willing to become flesh and dwell among? Will you be present and set up your tent? Another question. Where have you set up your tent? There are a lot of nice places, a lot of nice areas. But you know where we need to be? We need to be in the present, in the midst, among, with. We pattern ourselves after our God, who is a God of presence. We need to be a people who aren't too high. We need to be in the dirt when we need to be in the dirt. A people who, like the God we worship, are down among the people. Now let me clarify. You might think you need to look around a bit to find a place to pitch that tent. But I'm not generally talking about over there or over there. We don't have to look too far to find the place. We don't have to look somewhere else. I'm talking about being present as God's presence wherever you are. I'm talking about dwelling, being willing to dwell with people in the moment, in the joy, in the pain, in the gain, in the loss. I'm talking about dwelling there. That's what our God does, and that's what his people do. It's Christmas, and God is with us. He has made his dwelling among us. He has set up his tent. He has tabernacled among his people. We are called to be that presence. We are called to set up our tents and dwell. You are the body. Go and set up your tent and go dwell this Christmas. God is with us. He is the Word. He is Emmanuel. And his name is Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are not just a God who is so big we can't imagine, but you're a God who's come down and a God that we can understand and relates to us and wants to be near us and wants to be present. We pray that this Christmas, that you would help us to be that presence in our families, with our friends, in the world, wherever we are, we're called to be your presence. Empower us by your Holy Spirit. Father, help us to be present in the pain and the joy of life and know that that presence, just being there, is often enough. Help us understand, Lord, as we celebrate Christmas this year, that the true meaning is presence. In your name we pray. Amen.